personally don't need to add anything, but I would like to put Kevin Tiger's pre-town meeting before we do the other things, which is what we intended to schedule, and then we'll go through the other stuff after that.
That's good.
Does anyone have any other additions or deletions? So I need a motion.
So move.
I need a second.
Sure.
All those in favor of the agenda, we're putting Kevin in the pre-town meeting first and then the rest of the items after.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Kevin Geiger is here with us today, and this was your opportunity. If you had any questions regarding the town report that came through and has been ready for a while, for you to try and get an explanation or answer.
Thank you. So how long do you want?
Whatever it takes.
Okay. All right. So I'm Kevin Geiger. I'm your town moderator. I think I know most of you. And so I'm just going to go right down to the articles, which are on page 2 of the town report. And for some, I know that I want to speak to them a little bit, but others, I really have no comment in particular. And so I'm just going to leave a little bit of dead air on each one. If I don't hear anything, I'll just go to the next one. So Article 1, elect a town moderator. For that, I step aside, because it's not proper for the moderator to moderate their own potential election, and so I'll turn it over to Emily, as chair of the select board, who will actually undertake that vote. No seconds are needed for a nomination, but assuming I get nominated, then you'd always call for somebody else, see if there's anybody else nominated, and then you'd go to vote. But assuming I'm back in, let me keep going. For the ensuing year, we go down to each of the officers. If there needs to be a ballot, some positions require a ballot. If they're not contested, we just do a motion for the clerk to cast one ballot. If they are contested, we do ballots. We're actually good about it. Number 4, I think there was this discussion earlier at the select board meeting previously about why that article's there. If people really want to talk about it, the select board is prepared to talk about why Article 4 is there, but it's basically the kind of thing that just has to be done. The housekeeping, from my understanding.
That is correct. That was this year's opinion.
Yes. And it seems to change sometimes from year to year.
It does appear that way.
Article 5 is 2 articles. 1, should the body wish to split it, they can split it, but otherwise that can go along. Article 6 is several in 1, and we'll read each of them. Again, it's proper to amend them slightly up or down. I don't. But assuming they all pass as 1, they can do that too. 7 is a similar thing, it's just broken down as a specific number. 8 is a specific number. 9, it may be proper, and I'll ask you all now to see if I should step aside for that. That article is to raise a certain amount for regional energy coordinator. It is possible, although it's not in the article, but it's possible that that would be a position that the town would contract with my employer, Two Rivers Creechy Regional Commission, to actually do. And so there could be seen as a potential conflict in there. And so really, in general sense, why not avoid things when you can avoid them? I would probably step aside and it'd be back to Emily to be running the meeting. And is that all good with everybody? Okay. Number 10. That came up at a previous one, and if I remember right, Scott, the expectation, that was by a petition.
Right. It once Article 11 came to be, it obviated the need for Article 10.
And so I would expect somebody would make a motion to table or pass over that article, assuming that passes, and we go to Article 11, and just Article 10 is just kind of kaput. 11 is 2 items in 1. Again, there would be some discussion on that, I'm sure, about what is the actual fund balance and stuff like that. So as long as the treasurer and the select board are ready to deal with those questions about do we have the money, set a specific amount of the money. My understanding is that that is a known amount because the fiscal year closed a while ago, so we actually know the balance. And then 12 is always a little bit of a confusing one because there's amounts you raise in taxes and pay, and then there's other parts that relate back to earlier in the warrant. But assuming all those things pass. And frankly, I'm always surprised because we don't get a lot of discussion on some of those, on the actual budget sometimes. But there can be discussion on individual line items in the budget. That's very appropriate. The budget's in here. Are there any, in the past we've had some issues like, oops, that number was wrong in the budget or there was a discrepancy. Are we pretty good this year?
We're good on that. The takeaway from that article is that you've got the budget and then you've got what are called warrant appropriations or separate appropriations. And if any of those are modified or fail, then that necessarily means that we have to adjust the budget amount.
Yeah.
So that's really what it means.
And somebody would help me with the math.
Yeah, we'd have to figure out what the math would be.
And you also note at the bottom of that notation that if 9 is passed, that if that is going to increase that amount, that is not included in that amount to be approved on the budget, because that is a new item and we felt that all the other items had been passed in previous years when they were social service agencies, that this one would be standalone and we would not include it in that money amount until the voters passed it, if they did or if it does not pass.
Just to say a little bit more about it is this article 9 is something that I don't remember how many towns are involved in this.
Seven. Yep.
So 7 towns that have agreed to either put it in the budget or put a separately warned article at town meeting for the same position. And then if it passes, I presume, in all 7, then it becomes a funded position that would come up annually for renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would become an official position that would live at Two Rivers.
Yeah, I can speak to that now. And it's possible I would speak to it during the meeting, even though I wouldn't be moderating. But I try to avoid that, I think. Nick Clark, who's the chair of the select board in Thetford, this was his idea. We had a similar idea that we would have a regional energy coordinator. And in fact, there may be sub-regional energy coordinators. I'm meeting tomorrow night with the towns in the Rochester Valley about that type of thing. So Nick laid out some tasks, a whole list of tasks, and then he broke it up, the amount of the prospective position at Two Rivers by town. He used grand lists as his way to kind of apportion out town monies. That might or may not be the way it all eventually gets done. But if it was to be a position at Two Rivers, basically the participating towns would enter into discussion with us, then hammer out the details, all of that type of thing, and how the position gets funded. They'd be our employee, but the towns would have input, and essentially the towns would join together in a mutual contract for a specific thing, just like they could for a whole variety of stuff, if they wanted to. Some towns in our region have shared police. Some towns have a couple shared fire. And so it's just that thing, but it's bigger.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What is that specific thing?
The thing, which thing?
The thing that you just mentioned. You said specific thing.
It's an intermunicipal agreement.
I know it's an agreement, but what is it an agreement for, and what does the town get out of it?
So it would be an agreement between the towns
yeah.
to contract with Two Rivers, or this doesn't say Two Rivers. I mean, they could contract with whoever.
For what?
But if they were to pick Two Rivers for a specific thing.
I know, but the thing is what I want to know.
And well, that's one of the things that we don't know until the end. We have a whole laundry list of stuff that it might do.
Most of the stuff and things is very vague. I like specifics. I'd like to know numbers and people and facts and figures and stuff.
Well, as you can imagine, with seven towns voting, there are literally thousands of permutations of the way that number could come out. And so until we have a number, we don't know what that equals in terms of a person.
But you do know the number that you want to get the money to pay for this person.
Correct.
But you don't know what this person might do or not do.
It would be up to the towns. We know they'd be doing energy stuff.
But stuff, they don't like that word stuff. Things and stuff is not a good way to express yourself.
That's okay.
What do you mean by energy?
I'll keep going.
Yeah.
So they could be doing energy things for the town directly. And so, for example, that might be town buildings. The lights are these LEDs. Audits of the town structure, trying to negotiate those. They wouldn't be doing the energy audits because that's a professional task. Town fleets. Now, most of these towns, like our town, have trucks. They're pretty much going to be the trucks. But if you had Norwich or Thetford or other thing, they have a few more vehicles out there. So those are town-level activities for the town stuff, the town buildings, the town vehicles, that type of thing, including potentially a community solar project. So the town would actually find and fund and build a solar project for net metering.
In town?
In town, on town land, potentially.
On town land?
Yep. So, and again, that might not work in one town, but another town might be really into that. The Newbury right now is thinking of a community solar project, for example. Newbury's not one of these seven towns. But then there's the other part, which mostly has to do with the town's people. So would you be helping town's people get energy retrofits of their house? Would you help try to organize solar permitting on certain places? Would you try to, you know, do conservation projects? Would you just do energy education around electric vehicles or better washing machines or you name it? So that anything involving energy could go all over the place. And it really might be, this town says we want to work on, you know, an energy retrofit for town hall. And this town says we want to do streetlights. And this town says we want to do, you know, insulation for home. So it really, there's about 20 things on that list that it could involve. And it really might be a little a la carte.
Sorry. So all the towns don't have to do the same thing necessarily.
Nope.
It's just there's a point person to coordinate with each of them, whichever their initiatives
Correct.
Take on.
And I would imagine that the energy committees, and not every town has an energy committee, but most towns have an energy committee, which would be very kind of influential, because I've already been thinking of these.
Oh, you mean like a subcommittee
of the
someone that the energy coordinator would not report to, but work with closely.
Yes.
Point people.
Yep.
Okay.
I have a quick question. What would this person do that, say, Efficiency Vermont already does?
What would they do that Efficiency Vermont already does?
Yeah.
Well, Well, it's mostly about, Efficiency Vermont isn't going to necessarily work on getting a contractor to an audit for a town hall.
Oh, they don't do audits for, they only do it for public, for private people?
They don't do it just as a matter of course with their people in-house. But they do education around these type of things. And so this person might just carry a bunch of their educational materials forward and go, you know, I'm going to go have a session at the library because not everybody reads the thing on Efficiency's website. And, you know, I'll carry that. I'll do that. Electric vehicles is a big thing coming. How we get people to buy electric vehicles, another big issue. But there's been talk about maybe we should just have an electric car show somewhere, just so people can look at these things and go, oh, I like that one versus that one, or what's this cost? GMP is our main power person in the region. None of these towns have Washington Electric. GMP does certain things about putting the plugs at your house. So you might want to know about that. But there's a lot of education out there because there's umpteen stuff. And the field is changing so fast. As you all may know, it's very hard to keep up with it.
I just printed the job description. So I only printed one copy because it's several pages, but I'll leave it. And if anybody wants it, there's no reason we can't email it around if anybody wants a copy.
Right, and on that, I think, is a kind of, there's a bullet list of...
Where did that come from?
From Nick
Clark. That came from Nick Clark.
Where?
Nick Clark. He's the guy who's...
How come we haven't seen it before?
That was actually in one of our select board. It should have been at one of our select board meetings when he came to present.
Yeah.
It is?
Should have.
And so these, this is a whole kind of laundry list of things that they could do.
Yeah, Nick came and presented.
Can that be posted on town website?
We can put it up there, yeah. So
you have to understand that it was my understanding from Nick Clark a month and a half ago when I was trying to get the wording for this article that indeed there was going to be a meeting down at Two Rivers before town meeting for select board members or whatever to go to and discuss just what they thought this position was going to be and entail and get at least more than just a rudimentary understanding of what this person might do. I never got an email to indicate that meeting ever took place.
I don't think it had.
I don't think it ever did. So basically... Basically, what we're doing here is, if we vote this money, and that's a personal decision, but if we vote this money, it's kind of like we voted the merger in, but we even know less than we did with the merger.
Oh.
And so that may be a cruel way to look at it, but for me personally, and this is not a board position, for me personally, I do not have enough information as to how this is going to work to want to commit my dollars to it yet. And I'm just being honest. But that is not a board position. That is my personal position.
Do you know what precipitated this movement or this idea? I mean, is there a state mandate or a...
No. I think Nick thought, well... He'd been working with the energy committee, I think.
Okay.
And had heard from some other energy committees, like, oh, you know, we're getting tired, you know. Kind of like any committee, at a certain point, you've been doing stuff for a long time. We do know that in the energy committees in the Upper Valley, a lot of the people have been involved in the union for quite a long time, and they kind of get burnt out. And so they thought, oh, we could use a person, and then Hartford actually hired a person. Hartford has its own energy board. And I think they said, well, we don't want to fund the whole person, but could we get part of a person to help our town kind of do...
I think, and Kevin, you know more about this than I do, but I think, depending on which way the wind blows in Montpelier, there will be more things coming from the legislature instead of, in terms of compliance with energy efficiency or incentives or, you know, like... a focus on that. Who knows how that's going to shape up?
Yeah, most of the work so far has been around getting electricity to be from renewable sources. That is, you know, totally successful. Washington Electric, 100% renewable sources. Green Mountain Power, about 60-70% right now, going to be 100% soon. So they're like, okay, we kind of have that part of life done. Now, how do we deal with buildings and vehicles, which are the two big pieces? And neither one is handily under the town control, except the town buildings and the town vehicles. But that state goal, you know, kind of filtering down, how do we actually help that thing happen? And the state can do it, but they're not doing it at the state level with a bunch of staff. And so I think it's going to be coming down to towns eventually to try to make those things happen.
Why didn't this... energy coordinator have a petition like the other two articles 7 and 8? They had petitions with the registered voters and brought it in, and why didn't you do it that way for this one?
We didn't do it either way, but
we agreed as a board to put it on the line.
without a petition.
It doesn't. It doesn't hurt. The board can do that on its own volition.
Very clever.
What do you mean, very?
And Thetford, as you may know in the paper, kind of went through the town manager. They have a new kind of interim town manager who's just going on the scene. He called me and said, what's this thing and how might we respond? And so I'll tell you what I told him, and I think you can send it around to all the potential towns. There are a lot of unknowns. There's the unknown of what do we have, and if half the towns fund this and half the towns don't. There's the unknowns of what do we exactly want the person to do. All of those type of things. Those get worked out after. You can't possibly work them out before. Because you don't know, because you can't get everybody to agree until you have to vote, and then you can't find out the money and that type of thing. So the way I put it is, this is really a case of whether the townspeople want to say, yes, we want you, the town, to work more on energy issues, and we need somebody to do that who's not just a volunteer. And if that's yes, then move forward, and whether it's this amount of money and this particular organization. But if it's no, then you're going to keep using your volunteers to move forward.
And has the board considered where they want to have this solar array put?
They're not putting a solar array up.
I thought that was part of this whole...
That was just one thing amongst that whole list that the town might decide that they want to do.
Potential site.
Yeah, I don't think Pomfret is thinking about that at all.
Yeah, because this solar sites are unusual sites. Either they're in the middle of hay fields or they're non-existent, period. And unfortunately, people own these hay fields that want them as hay fields. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking at two in Newbury right now, one of which is is next to the town garage, so they're kind of interested in that. So that's that article. But that's good. Good to have some discussion on that one. And then we're on 13, which is really just, you know, are you going to do taxes in two installments? If you don't pay on time, you're going to be penalized, that type of thing. And then any other necessary business. And this is where if somebody had a resolution or a sense of the meeting, or they wanted other things to be done that aren't binding on anybody, they can get done in there. And I don't know, do we expect any?
We don't know of anything. I guess you never do.
No, you don't. Sometimes people want to. Some point, of course, in the meeting, usually the representatives come and want to speak to the body, and that happens. There's no school meeting, so we're not going to have a break. Are we going to have lunch and stuff? You know?
I haven't heard that is happening.
Yeah. Are we going to have donuts at least?
I haven't heard about that either.
Are you having not on the donuts?
We are having donuts.
Okay.
Yes.
Carry on.
Cider?
Coffee.
Charge of beverages.
Okay. All right. I don't know if anybody has talked to anybody about running the mics. But it's,
well, you guys were getting the equipment, right? I can help.
Okay.
We'll figure out the recording and all that.
So we'll have sound recording.
We'll figure all that out.
Okay. And then before, like, the Boy Scouts have run the mics, it's handy to have somebody
right
around the meeting.
Yeah.
Other than that, there'll be Australian ballot voting going on.
Yeah. For the sport school. Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. It's also the Vermont primary.
And I don't know how you all or how the body of the meeting wants to do it. We don't have a school meeting anymore. Because we don't have a local school district anymore. We have just a big district. But sometimes people want to discuss school stuff. And if they want to bring that up under 14 and talk about school stuff for a while, I'm game. But I don't know if there's any particular flavor there. Yes?
Who's going to address item 9 and explain it to the populace in detail?
That's a good question. I don't think I should. I certainly can't as moderator do that.
But who should then? I mean, what's not the board. Is there somebody that the fellow that wants the the contract? Should he be here?
Nick says, I'm hoping either Nick or someone else will come and speak to the article.
I think Nick will probably be at that place.
Right. Yeah, there you go. So somebody... I asked him
for information to put in the town report, and that was not forthcoming either.
Okay. So, yeah, I think whether somebody's going to come and actually speak to it or not is... I mean, that will... If nobody comes to speak to it, then...
It'll fail.
It may fail, yeah.
It should fail.
So I think all we have at the moment is the job description that I printed off there. We can put that up, but yeah, if nobody...
Where's that? Is that going to be presented? Will that be a handout? Or
We can provide that. We can also put it on
the website. That's the least that can be done.
Sure.
Yeah.
Post on the list.
Put it on a list.
You might want to have it there on paper because people can read it, because right. People don't like the computers
right.
too
much. Right, yeah. Right, they may not.
Well, you see, that job description is somewhat nebulous as well, because...
Exactly.
The participants are unknown, and so there really is no real job description, because the participants are going to make the job description if they get the money to fund the position. So that's an idea of what a person might do, but it isn't cast in stone like you would advertise a job description on the website.
It's a bit of a carriage before the horse.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I'll just run down here. The position will conduct comprehensive greenhouse gas inventories. Depending upon how deep you want to dive, that's all you do. Literally, you could spend your entire waking hours doing that for a town. Develop and monitor annual energy program budgets. Identify and secure public and private funding, so you might be grant writing. Out there, serve as the point of contact on energy efficiencies, guide and supervise consultants and contractors, for the town. Out there, provide staff to energy committees, develop and build educational programs, review applications to the zoning board regarding energy, update the town plan, the energy section of the town plan. Work with all the elected officials on energy, coordinate with Efficiency Vermont. Develop regional transportation stuff. Work with transit providers. Work on sustainable food and compost. So there's a lot of things. And obviously, you can't do much of all of those.
It's basically going to be up to the town providing a task to decide what is important for them for this position for them to pursue.
Yeah.
Who's the author of that?
Nick.
I think there has been a lack of information potentially provided, especially if we've asked for it. And so maybe for that reason that maybe we do need to vote it down and wait until it's more organized, though I do think it holds potential and it is an important piece that we should certainly be looking at. Whether this year is the time to do that, I haven't made up my mind at this point, but I do think it's important.
Yeah. And this is a one-year, for now it's just a one-year thing.
Yeah.
It may develop, so yeah. We'll get to revisit. Either way, we may get to revisit.
At some point, we've got to decide, is it important enough to pursue and then see how it all shapes up and if it works out, whether that's this year or another year.
And if it was in-house, our idea would be the position would start July 1 between town and meetings, July 1, kind of figure out who's going to do what where. Yes?
If some towns vote for it and some don't, and it goes forward, is it something that you can join later? Is it going to be an open thing, or is it once established?
No, there's...
Get in on the ground level or forget about it?
There would be no... statutory or legal reason why you couldn't leave it open. And so certainly I could see that a town might vote down, and then they might later go, oh, wait a minute, we're...
This is good stuff.
Yeah,
good things
we kind of like a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I could see towns might go, oh, wait a minute, only two of us voted for this thing. Maybe just the two towns should get together and hire a person just between them.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be that. Might never involve two of them.
How many towns are being approached?
Seven. And Nick just picked those seven because they kind of stick together. but it's possible, you know, Berkshire wants to be involved or something. There's no reason they necessarily have to touch
it. Okay, it's not a regional, like, it can only cover a certain region, a certain
area. Yeah. No. Is this Nick generated, or is this generated by the state? Or
no, Nick Clark, yeah.
Nick Clark has decided he wants to have a business that goes around telling you how.
No, Nick doesn't in particular want to do this, but I know.
He just thinks it's important.
Yeah.
What do you mean Nick doesn't want to do this?
I don't think Nick's going to be the regional energy coordinator.
Okay. So Nick will hire somebody on behalf of the towns?
No. If it was Two Rivers, we would hire the person. They'd be a Two Rivers employee. Otherwise, the towns could jointly hire the person. But, you know, just like it'd be hard to have a joint road foreman, typically one town would hire the person and the other town would contract with that town for some of the services. Across versus having two actual bosses.
This isn't, correct me if I'm wrong, a person that's going to be telling the towns what to do. It's going to be towns deciding what's important to them with energy, and then that person is going to advise the towns as to their recommendations as to what you could do, and then they're going to be potentially responsible for potentially writing grants to get whatever it is that we decide we want to improve in the energy sector in the town of Concord.
Right. Like, let's say Concord decided we'd like to know how much energy we're using at the town garage and ways to tighten that building up and use less energy. Person, go forth and figure that out and come back and tell us your plan. And then we'll decide, you know, if we have any money to do any of those type of things. But Jimmy's brain's full, your brain's full, everybody's brain's full. Nobody's thinking about this right now, so that's what we want you to do. That's just an example. That's not...
One thing to bear in mind, too, is that voters could, they could vote it down, certainly, if there's not enough information or aren't in favor of it. But even if voters vote in favor of appropriating the money, there's still that next step that's required to develop a contract and get the agreement nailed down. If that fails, the money doesn't get spent.
Right.
And the money just stays there. So it's not... there's still that next step in the process of ironing out the details, just as Emily alluded to, is that I don't think the town should or would go forward unless there is a clear plan, unless that's all nailed down and actually commit to that spending. So
I don't get it. You already know how much money you want to spend here. How come you don't know where that money's going to go?
Because what we have is a narrative that talks about all the things that this person could do. Until there's a contract in place that says this is what the person will do, That's where the rubber meets the road.
And so it's so not more than to spend, you mean?
If hypothetically voters approve Article 9, that doesn't necessarily mean that money's going to get spent. All it means is that voters are saying, yeah, we're willing to appropriate up to this amount of money. Now, after town meeting, and if voters do approve that article, there is that next step that however this shakes out and whatever we want to contract with that individual to do, all that has to get ironed out. If we're not able to get there, if we're not able to do that, that money doesn't get spent and it stays right where it is. It stays in the budget.
So ultimately $10,000 spent, possibly, maybe less, but ultimately the town will save $10,000 in energy savings.
Maybe. I guess what I'm trying to...
That would be the argument I would kind of give.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I recognize that people are saying, hey, there's a lack of information. What is this person really going to do?
Yeah.
And we're not providing answers. But I'm trying to provide some level of assurance that that money won't get spent until we know.
Right.
Because there has to be a contract. It's not as if Article 9 passes, go spend the money.
$10,000.
It's not out the window. That's not the case.
But you have to recognize that figure was not based on amount of work. That was on a per capita basis.
Yeah.
And so, regardless of how this contract all works out in the end, if some of those seven towns do not vote in the affirmative, then either for the remaining towns, either that contribution is going to have to go up, or there's going to be less than a full-time position, and those are also unknowns, because that is a per capita charge. That is not a hours of work charge. And so that figure depends on all seven towns voting in the affirmative.
Not necessarily. So just to keep.
Well, yes, because if you take out 900 people worth of expense or whatever that figure represents, then you will either have to cut down the size of your position,
right,
or you will have to make that money up with your participating towns.
But we can't make it up because when the article is voted,
I understand
we can't
that.
Spend any more.
Right. So this whole thing is dependent, really, if you're going to have a full-time position, it's dependent on all seven towns voting in the affirmative.
Well, not necessarily, because if hypothetically only five vote in the affirmative, that just means the job description gets tailored to whatever amount of money that can be pooled together for those five towns for the position.
Right.
What I would say, in kind of going beyond town meeting, let's just say hypothetically that only four towns vote in the affirmative of their articles. And that means there's a smaller pool of money for this job. This select board can choose of its own volition to say, you know what, it's just plain not worth it. The job description has gotten so small because of the pool of money is so small, it not really is worth, in the judgment of this board, to enter into a contract for such a narrow job description. That is something that could easily.
That brings up a good question now. I mean, what does the board think? Is this a worthy cause to get money back for the town to spend $10,000 if that much is spent? How much is it really worth getting, saving money at the town garage or putting LED lights in here? I mean, I could do that for you in a minute. But, where do you want it? What is it you can do? We already got new windows here and there and everywhere else. What kind of money can you actually save by hiring somebody to come and tell you what to do
that
you don't already know?
It has the potential to be worthwhile, and until we do a year of it, nobody's going to know whether it was worthwhile or truly is worthwhile. So,
but you say it is worthwhile, but you say it's not worthwhile.
No, I said it has the potential to be worthwhile.
Okay. Well, everything has potential. But you can't
truly answer if something is worthwhile until you've done it. You can't say that this is worthwhile until it's happened. You have to
think it through quite well.
That's true. And maybe it isn't worthwhile for Pomfret. We seem to live in a town where people don't seem to. I should keep my mouth shut, but we seem to live in a town where people don't necessarily. Where having. Where it's not as important to be environmentally conscious as it is to have sprawling open fields. Nobody wants to look at a solar field, but on the other hand, how would you rather get your energy? That's, we have a very large NIMBY problem in this town, as do a lot of towns.
I think you have a lot of NIMBY problems in every town.
No, but you've got other towns that are fully embracing the whole renewable thing. I'm not saying we should
invest in their solar fields.
We need to be open to new ideas, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it might come to pass, let's say Woodstock passes theirs, and Pomfret and Barnard passes theirs, and together there's like $55,000 or something there, or $57,000. You might go, well, let's go down the street and see if we can get a person for $57,000 for you. And a consultant might pop up and be like, yeah, I'll do that full time. Mm-hmm. And that's only $3,000.
Right, and we can also, with knowing what that amount of money is, we can tailor what it is we want to try and get from that experience. So, for example, if we say, look, whether it's palatable or not, or whether what the priorities are, and I honestly, I really can't say what the opportunities are from a grant standpoint, but sometimes positions do end up paying for themselves by pursuing grant opportunities. So maybe there would be grant opportunities that that person could help with grant writing and pursuing those. Or maybe, as to Billy's point around, sure, or Kevin, what you said earlier about energy uses in town buildings, maybe we do an assessment, a baseline, and see where we're at. How efficient are we? Are we wasting money on insulation and things like that? So we can. What I'm saying is that we can pick and choose at that point what our highest priorities are. And if there still isn't money to even do that, there's that, like, okay, forget it, let's not do anything at all. And so, again, I just want to emphasize that even if voters approve this article, that doesn't mean the money's going to get spent. It means that we're going to move to the next step, which is to figure out what is possible and what is the best use of that money.
Because you can imagine, you can do it in reverse. Any town that wants to participate gets together. They negotiate out all the tasks and stuff. They get a position. They go to town meeting, and two towns don't vote yet. Now you're back right where we're going to be in the spring, rejiggering everything, and so you kind of can't figure it out ahead of time.
Just to clarify, though, one of the things that the two of you seem to be at odds on saying is the example that you just said about, like, let's say Woodstock and Barnard, and we vote yes, and we've got $57,000, and we hire a person for a year based on that amount of money. But he's saying, oh, maybe that money won't get spent. If we hire somebody, I would consider that money spent.
I was saying it won't get spent until there's a contract. But if we don't think there's a contract worth pursuing, it doesn't get spent.
You don't automatically hire anybody. Yeah. Three towns
gotcha.
Have to get together.
So that's where I was unclear.
I like the idea of having a contract first and saying, yeah, this is what we need. How much?
Yeah, that's really difficult to do that, to draft a contract ahead
of
time.
It's backwards. I mean, you put a number, right? I mean, we forget the number. Now we want to say, hey, let's go for it. The guy's going to come and say, this is what we think you need.
Yeah,
there's going to be some studies done before you even can recommend what we need.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't really matter. There is no contract at this point. Mm-hmm. Whether that should have been done ahead of time, it is not done. We do not know exactly what this position will entail. And Scott is right about that, and so is Kevin. And so you have to realize, if you vote for this or against it, you have to realize that these are the constraints that we have. We do not know the answers to these questions because we just haven't been given that information, and those details haven't been worked out. So when it comes time to vote on this, you're going to have to figure out whether you would rather vote for this and assume everything will work out right, or whether you want a more detailed proposal. Like, for instance, if we were to say we need a fourth highway crew member, this is what he's going to cost us, and this is what he or she is going to do for us. And then, so you know exactly what you're trying to hire. This is not that kind of scenario. And so that's up for it. That's why it's here. That's why it's a separate article. That's why we did not include it in the budget. That's why we put it on as a separate article. We felt it was up for the voters to decide. And I still feel it is up for you guys to decide. And we'll deal with whatever you decide. Because that's our job.
As long as we're informed.
As long as you guys are informed.
Critical.
So any other items. We kind of just ran through all the articles and all the way to the end.
Of the donuts.
And we know about the donuts. Not sure about the coffee, but we know about the donuts.
Gotta have a donut.
Any other questions on the town report? Or anything before town meeting that you're unique or wish to have answers for? Because this is your shop.
Yeah.
Great job. Great pictures. Wonderful pictures.
I take no responsibility.
No, you don't.
You have to thank the three auditors for the layout and the presentation. I think they've done an excellent job as well. But the select board took no part in that. Well, we just got the budget ready on time.
I wasn't giving you any credit at all, Emily. Just
thank you.
Pictures.
I don't want to take credit when it's not you.
Yeah.
I just was going to throw out a question because I don't know whether it's been discussed already. But I know that the select board has been talking about the potential shortfall in the highway fund this year. Is there any discussion that you would want to reallocate some of the money that you're talking about, the $90,000 for the paving and the amount that was going to go to reduce taxes? Is there any discussion to move more of that into the highway fund?
That's on the agenda tonight.
Well, that is on the agenda tonight. I've looked at those figures pretty carefully, and I think we'll come out even on the highway fund. But I think we need to make some decisions now rather than waiting until the 15th of June. I think we can get where we need to be, even though there are some shortfalls and things are costing more than we had hoped and we had budgeted for. I think we can make those adjustments so we can get there. The $90,000, we just got bids from the three entities on Howe Hill. If we don't get any grants, that $90,000 to the paving reserve will be necessary for sure. We are hopeful for a grant, but there's no guarantees. And the $86,000 to reduce taxes, we basically have committed that to reduce taxes. So, but I think, having looked at the highway figures, I think we can get there. But we need to make those decisions sooner rather than later. I don't know whether my cohorts have looked at it carefully or not. It was only put on the agenda a few days ago.
So, any other questions where I could be of use?
Remind me how to ask for a floor vote. Like for this one here, 9, maybe it may be easier to do a, not a floor vote.
A division
ballot?
Of the House?
Or a division of the House or a ballot.
So any one person can call for a division, and so when I do that like little dinky parliamentary thing up front, I'll explain that. But any one person can say division, just kind of stand up and say, division! And that means that we're going to count hands, or have people stand, or do some way where you physically show eyes and names. Any 7 people can call for a ballot. And so all we need is 7 people to say, ballot, ballot, ballot. Okay, I got 7 people, ballot. And then we go to a ballot vote. And once we go to ballot vote, we do the usual, you know, pieces of paper, goes up front type thing.
You have the responsibility of counting all those people standing your hands and saying, I don't feel comfortable, let's do a ballot vote, right?
I do it, and there's usually, I think members of the Board of Civil Authority will kind of stand up and help. But
kind of can't quite count all the hands quite.
We get everything like, you get 68, I get 68, okay.
Yeah.
Oops, we got to do it again, stand up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just obvious.
It's obvious, but if it's not, then you have the opportunity.
And if it's not obvious, you can still ask for a ballot vote,
right.
Can you not?
Oh, yeah,
that's my point.
Yeah, actually, that's a good question, whether we voted once or even go to the ballot vote then.
I think that, may not have been correct on Robert's rules, but I have certainly seen it done in previous town meetings,
yes.
Where it was very confusing to,
right.
Because it was a close vote and everybody kind of shifts around.
Too close.
It was confusing, and the moderator at that point asked for a ballot vote.
Right, to make hand out multiple correct. Pieces of paper so people can sign 50,000 times and put them in a box.
Right.
And remember, the body can always overrule me. I can be like, you really can't do that.
Get the hook.
Oh yeah, we can. And then that's what we're doing.
Get the hook.
No, I was just going to say, I think it, I don't know if it is or isn't, possible, but you, if you hear the voice vote and it's unclear, you call for a division.
Yes.
So I would think if you think the division is unclear, you can call for a ballot.
Yeah.
There
you
go.
No, why would you
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure. Like if I had it, but if we had an actual vote,
that's a scheme,
you know, and it was 55 to 55.
Oh, I see.
I don't think then I can go like, oh, that was kind of close. Now I'm going to go to a ballot.
I see what you're saying. But if you couldn't, because people were moving,
right,
you could never get that.
Yes.
I see what you're saying.
The Iowa caucus.
Right. That's
the Iowa caucus.
You're going to have an ask for it.
So it would be easier if somebody from the floor asked. For it to be a ballot vote.
Yeah, you could, because usually with a voice vote, you could tell pretty quickly, like, that was darn close.
Yeah, depending on who yells loudest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, and I've noticed this, I don't know if this will be emotional or not, but in something that's emotional, you know, it's nicer. People can just vote the way they feel or bring the ballot up. And so.
Any other questions? Yes.
Question for the select board. On Article 11, you're proposing to authorize the expenditure of the unassigned fund balance into either the reserve account and part of it to reduce taxes. That's right? Mm-hmm. Did I have it right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the surplus money from last year, right? Why didn't you do the same thing with the highway surplus?
It's not required.
Right, it automatically.
Well,
it
I know that it automatically goes over and it's not required, but gee, if it's good for one surplus, I should think it would be good for the other. What's your reasoning?
I'll say the reason we're doing it for the general fund budget is because we're doing it because of statute. Otherwise, we wouldn't.
Excuse me?
Sorry.
It's statute that we have to agree.
You have to authorize the expenditure of the surplus.
Yes, by statute.
Which is what you're doing. What I'm asking is, why don't you do the same thing for the highway surplus? A surplus is a surplus.
Technically, we've done that. We have included it in the budget and to offset taxes. That has become basically an income item in the highway budget. We have basically deficit spent by $50,000, $859,000 or whatever it was. And so it is there in the budget in black and white that is coming from last year.
Why didn't you do the same thing for the town fund?
Because by law, we are not allowed to carry forward an unassigned fund balance in the general fund. That's why.
So why didn't you just use it to reduce taxes?
That is certain. That we certainly could have worn an article like that. But so Article 11 is a proposal. Right? That's all it is.
I understand.
Voters can accept it, reject it, modify it. So don't think of Article 11 as some set in stone. It's not set in stone. It is merely a starting point. Voters can, again, voters can reject it, modify it, whatever. But all Article 11 is based upon what the select board knows to be the need for expenditures. This is the best proposal that we could put forward and what to do with that.
I understand.
Okay. All right.
So Neil does raise a question. Maybe there's an answer that we can find right now. Was there an amount certain that was left over in last year's highway fund that has gone into the current year's highway fund that would show as like a revenue line item or something? Besides the thing in the article, was there already some money where you...
It is not in the current year's fund. It's in next year's budget.
Right.
The fund balance, which was $50,000, the unassigned fund balance, because it was actually a $250,000 fund balance,
right,
because the paving did not get done before the 1st of July.
Okay.
And so $200,000 or $201,000, to be exact, was spent of that fund balance to pay the paving that should have gotten done before the 1st of July. That $50,000 is an actual fund balance and it is in this current 2021 budget to be used to reduce the amount raised in taxes for the highway fund.
Page 18, line
109. Okay, that's what I'm looking for.
So, yes, that's an actual fund balance from 2019, or the remainder of the fund balance, because $201,000 plus some change is used to pay for paving.
So by statute, any unspent money in the highway fund automatically goes towards the next year's expenses.
In the highway fund.
In the highway fund.
So, in the general fund, we have to ask the voters permission or
approval
to use that fund balance, or we can just let it accumulate. These are the things that we put forth to do that, given the fact that we did not want to raise taxes enormously, and the Howe Hill project is an expensive need that we can't put off any longer. And so those were the items that we chose. But you can tell us we're wrong, and you can do something else and amend that if you so choose.
Great. Any other question? And that was good. So I made a little note. So in the meeting, if we go, where's that number? I can go, page 18. Because otherwise, you're always kerfuffle one around.
Are you hanging around for the rest of the meeting?
I am not, unless I have.
Did you, did Pierre talk to you about change of use?
Change of use.
The definition.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the planning commission business there.
Yeah. It might come up a little later. I was just curious.
Change of use is
Does it need to be defined?
No, we never define it. Change of use.
Because he never got back to me, and he said you would if it was needed to be defined, didn't it? So I figured it wasn't. That's all I need for.
Just Webster's on that.
It's English.
Yeah.
Should it have hyphens in between?
We would never put hyphens in.
Okay. Just Dreyer's English, trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
We will see you all.
Looking forward to the donut. The donuts will be there.
We have some additional things here, but because there are quite a few people here, if it's all right with the board, and Jimmy has also been up a long time dealing with the roads, if we could leave the warrants and the approval of the minutes until after we go into the items for discussion for vote. Does anyone have an objection if we kind of take things a little bit out of order? Okay, Jimmy, road foreman report.
The biggest thing that we got is the check number 2 down there. Some repairs done.
That was the repair estimate that I sent you guys a couple days ago.
Right.
That I forwarded to you.
I've had a long conversation with them down there, and number one, it's not a safety issue. That's wrong. So if we so choose to wait a while to do it, or however it happens, it could happen that way. The biggest thing of it is number one, everybody needs to know that it was nothing to do with being maintenance related on it. It is the front of the truck is tired. It's tired. The other truck, number 3, hasn't gone down yet for its oil. What happened was, to back it up a little bit, I sent truck number 2 down to get it serviced, and they changed the oil and the fuel filters and stuff, and I had to put an eyeball on it while it was down there, and so they found some of the stuff that was on it. There was a few, the brake cans there, one of the brake cans was off on it, and the spring was gone in it, so that was a safety issue, two other ones, and so we got it back to shop, and I changed all that up, fixed all that, so there's absolutely no safety issue on it, but in my mind, I mean, I made it pretty clear to the people that are going to be driving the truck, and the person that's going to drive, if you're uncomfortable driving, you let me know, and I will not put you in harm's way, but there's not any safety issue with it. They're saying to me that there's no reason why it shouldn't hold together and be fine, and let her go, if you trade it. But, with that being said, I don't know if the inspection end of that because that truck has to be inspectable. So,
when's it due for inspection?
Due in June. And when we take them, when they take them in trade, that is a stipulation on them that
they have to pass inspection.
The only thing that I could say, I mean, that we could buy some time on it, is we do it after this year, in January, into the next year.
Right. Yep.
If we did something like that. Right. But out of the fairness of doing business with other people and new people and stuff, I think we ought to get off on the right foot and give them a half a piece of support. That's just my opinion.
You mean
fix it.
Fix it before we trade it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The biggest thing that we can't do
with it. Or you give them the option, let them know what's wrong with it.
Right.
And they may meet you somewhere in the middle of the price, because maybe they'll fix it themselves.
True.
Wouldn't hurt to do that.
Mm-hmm.
True. Yep. But I talked to the mechanic down there again today that did the inspection on it and stuff. He said, by all means, if you've got the own stuff taken care of, it's not a safety issue. The only thing it is the four-wheel drive, you got to kind of pretty much not run the four-wheel drive, very limited, because what's going to happen over time is that knuckle's going to keep wearing it, and it is going to bust.
Yeah. But
if you don't run it four-wheel drive, that's fine. And the kingpin is worn on it, but on both sides a little bit, but they're big. They ain't going to go anywhere, you know. So there's no danger in the truck going off the road or anything.
What do the guys say? What do the guys say about?
They're fine.
They're fine.
Okay. Yep, totally fine.
So is a lot of it associated with that Meritor front end? Is that?
No. It's not really. The thing that I found about it is that it's just the life of the truck. Here, it's nothing to do with the Meritor front end on it. I mean, kingpins are king things. All trucks have kingpins.
Yep.
It's this business on the whole. You know, and it shocks that whole thing. Like they explained it to me down there was, 6 months out of that truck's life, it's not asked to do a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other 6 months, it's got a plow hanging off the front of it, and it's going through potholes and buttholes, and it's hard on them. And he just said, he goes, it's bottom line, it's just worn out. Because I had come right out and asked him, I did. It's just a lack of resources, right? A lack of maintenance. Said, what is this? And he said, no, it isn't on it. He said,
yep.
Because I wanted to clear that up. All right.
Appreciate that. Thanks for that.
So, and then the sand, we're down there now. I think we're getting back more and more back into the bank down there. And the only thing that worries me about the sand is if we run out, we can get more sand. I understand. But we have dug in way into the surplus that was there. So I'm afraid that next year we're going to be in the same. Moving forward, I
think.
Because we have in one place gotten into a solid bank, and I said, once we start seeing water coming up, I know we're getting close, and we started seeing a little bit of water coming up. I said, yeah, we're getting close to that bank now.
So,
how much sand 3/8 stone can pipe bring in, or have they got everything in there now?
I think they're close to having everything. And that's the other thing. I know we've talked about it before, but I have had quite a few people come to me and say that they like that way that sand is packed. So.
Good.
See,
you'll notice on your financials that the manufactured sand doesn't show up on there because Ellen has been putting that in hard pack, but she's changed that around. But it will not show up here. That was just, she didn't understand what was coming in.
Okay.
And but Jimmy talked to her today, and I suspect on the next financials we'll have a better idea of how much money we spend on manufactured sand. But you have a real good idea anyway, because you knew what money you had to work with, right? So we're getting toward the end.
And then the truck number 3 will be going down to get a service. It was scheduled to go down. Might have been last Thursday when we were, but we got that snowstorm, and so I held on to it. But they will put an eyeball on that, and there are a few things that I know for a fact that are wrong with that. One of them might become a safety issue when they look at it. I believe there's something drastically wrong in the steering, in the power steering environment or something like that. It's all
got a lot of slip.
What's that?
A lot of slip in it.
Yeah. So what they come up with once that's down there. Like I said, I'd let you guys make that decision on if you want to hold out, because I'm comfortable, the workers are comfortable with it, the mechanic was comfortable with it, and we hold out. But I think out of the fairness of it, like John said, that's probably a good way to approach it, is this is what's wrong with it.
Well, unless it falls apart, we could put it...
If it falls apart, then we're going to have
it. Well, yeah, but if it doesn't, we could get it into the next budget year. We can fool around with some of these numbers and not cut as many trees and others, and not get as much hardback or something later, and we can mess around with that. There's enough play in here right now because we're talking about it early enough that we can get where we need to be. But the reason I put it on the agenda was we need to think about it now. We can't wait until June and say, oh, geez. But you're paying attention, and we're paying attention now. So I think we're okay for the short term. Any other questions to Jimmy? Anything else you got?
No, thanks for everything.
You will find on your desk, on your places, those are the three, those are partial synopsises of the three bids that came in yesterday. John Harrington is going to... look all those over and collate them and come up with a report for the end of the week. And while we're talking about that, what would your schedules be? What could you do to have a joint meeting next week with Sharon to award the bids as individual board members? It's kind of clear between the three items where you're going to go anyway, because there's such a discrepancy in amounts. But we need to have a joint meeting with them in order to have that happen.
Anytime after dark.
So any day can at least...
Oh, I have the note on the tap of the headlamp, so...
I think they have a meeting on Monday. I don't know whether they would want to entertain this at that meeting. I don't know how full it is. But I will write back to Margie and tell her that anytime next week we can meet, and we'll let them figure out what their schedule is, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
What do we have to do technically if more than three of us or three of us show up?
We will have to warn a special meeting and say that it's either here or Sharon, and I don't care where we go, but we'll have to warn a special meeting for that purpose. So we'll need 24 hours warning. It won't be a regular meeting, but and they'll have to do the same. But I'll email Margie in so that she knows that we're pretty much open and we're willing to go anywhere. And if she comes back to us, we'll just warn a meeting. And if she talks to her board and thinks we could do it all Monday night when they already have a meeting, we could just do something then. But John didn't think he would have that all together till about the end of the week.
Next week. Or
this week,
okay.
So that we could get a decision done while and just get it out of the way. Okay. Anything else, Jim?
No, other than
tree cutting.
Yep,
you're on the agenda next for tree cutting, Si.
Yeah. Jim and I have taken a ride around town, primarily from the school to How Hill, and then up and over How Hill. We were looking at. Mainly the decline in all the elm trees down around the school and up through town on the blacktop. We didn't go down stage, but there's some trees that have been falling apart for a few years, and it's far overdue to address them before they really do some damage. So I went through a couple weeks ago with Alan Graham. We painted we're calling them high priority trees, which will get addressed first. So we inventoried those, painted them. We also inventoried all the ash trees since we were driving along the road. It took 3 hours to get from the school to Howe Hill. We have an inventory on ash trees that we'll address at a later date, and then some trees that are in decline of concern that, again, will be addressed at a later date. Back to the high priority trees. I just put together a basic scope of work that I can provide to prospective companies, contractors, with rough parameters, guidelines, what we'll be looking for as far as chipping on site, if the property owners want the firewood, and I'll go ahead of the work before it commences and contact landowners and or stuff a notice in their door saying this is work is going to happen on your property, it's within the town right away, if you want the firewood, let me know so I can relay the message. So I sent that copy to you, Emily.
And we all have a copy of it. I forwarded.
Did you guys get one? Okay.
We have the board.
Okay. Did you get one, Jim?
Yep, I did.
Okay.
Yep.
So, very basic and open for suggestion. Maintaining one lane of traffic as much as possible. There will be occasions where you do need to close both lanes, to drop a stem or what have you, depending, specific tree dependent. Fly chipping over a bank where possible, into a truck where lawn and or fields or hay fields are present. Oversized wood, either on site or dump back to the town garage for use, and the town will haul it to the stump dump. Some people have outdoor furnaces and they like that big chunky wood. Stumps, flush unless hardware is encountered. I thought a 3-4 man crew was appropriate, and no less. If somebody's working out of a bucket, feeding a chipper, somebody's running traffic, you could do it with 3-4, would be great. All day rates, I thought that would be the best way to really handle it by the hour. It's just, flat day rate. When I show the job to people that are interested, I can get a rough idea on, what they're thinking on how many days, and then we can kind of gauge that. All the pricing will go directly to Emily, and then you all can make the ultimate decision. We did obvious certificates. I thought notification 1 week prior to, work starting was fair warning for me to get the notices out. And Jim has made one good on that, on these high priority trees. These aren't the trees on Howe Hill. Jim and I looked at those, and they're going to do as much as they can. And then, because all that work needs to be done before that work starts. So highway department will do what they can, and then trees that are over their level, then we'll address that on another scope. I thought that was a good way to deal with it. I don't think I sent that around, but that's just a basic notice that I would stuff in people's doors, telling them what's happening.
The only thing that I have concerns with is on your scope of work is that if you're going to leave the wood for the landowner, and I understand they may want it, in the past, when Green Mountain Power has left wood, especially where you have a ditch below where the tree is cut, there's been 4-foot chunks that have rolled down into the ditch.
Yeah.
And we lost a culvert, 2 or 3 culverts actually, that way because it plugged a culvert. And so it would be my desire that if the landowner wants the wood, that it gets somewhere away from the ditch, or the person that's cutting, the people, whoever the vendor is that cuts, just load it up and ask them where they want it dumped, so that it is not going to make its way back down into the ditch and down to take out a culvert.
Yeah, it can't sit in the right of way for any.
Because Green Mountain Power, and used to be CBPS, does that religiously.
Yeah.
And that is how we lost a culvert. And also, that's how they lost a stone culvert over in Barnard was. Mm. They cut through the right-of-way and left four-foot chunks of pine, and they went down and plugged the stone culvert, and the whole thing went out. So I think we have to be cognizant that that's a risk. And so,
yeah, I agree with you there. I think just keep
so I just think we need to adjust that so that, you know, even if you just take it and say, landowner, where do you want it? You put it in a dump truck and just go dump it for us, so that it isn't going to get back down in the ditches and run right away for us.
That'll just cut into the time that is actually used for doing the work that's needed. And
yeah, but after you replace two or three big culverts, it'll pay for itself.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know. That's my feeling. If the board doesn't agree, that's okay. But having seen that happen on more than one occasion, I would just as soon not see it happen again.
Just hopefully not move off the board.
Right. I mean, it's dead elm, so. Yeah. But it does burn.
That's one thing I was going to actually mention about your notice is you might include in there, just to be safe, that the wood that's being, the trees that are being removed are either dead or diseased, you know, something
okay.
effect.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to be careful with thick live trees.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I did make note of that just for the firewood, you know, they just so that they know it's not premium grade firewood, it's deadwood.
Yeah.
Prior to that, Scott, yeah, just making another line.
Making the property owner understand.
Yeah, these are hazard trees.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so it's really, really abundantly clear to them.
Sure, sure.
Does the property owner have to sign off on the removal of any tree at all?
There has to be a hearing. There has to be a public hearing.
If we
remove a live tree, shade tree.
Or a tree that they might object to.
No.
No?
No, if it's in the right-of-way and it poses a public hazard, or if it's dead or diseased, or, you know, then the town can remove it.
No question there. You said live. I was wondering what you meant.
Live meant as in it's a healthy tree and basically is a shade tree.
So it doesn't need to be removed then?
Yeah, correct.
So I think it might go a long way if you made a point of just going to see the landowner and say, this is what I'm planning. Is that okay with you? You're not taking out any live trees anyway.